Spring, is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the new Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely-there fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. That means more comfort and less baggage. Experience how Allbirds is redefining comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's ALLBIRDS.com, code SUPER24.
Good afternoon, Jacksonville. You're listening to News 104.5, the Consumer Law Hour on WOKB. 855-765-1045, the number to call. That'll get you on with our experts, Chuck and Eddie Farah from Farah and Farah, here to take your calls. My name is Scott Young, sitting in as host this afternoon with these fine gentlemen. Shout out to our producer, Tom, taking care of us today, as we are looking forward to helping you solve your legal problems. Again, 855-765-1045, the number to call. Give us a shout. Chuck, Eddie, good to see you. What's going on, guys?
Hey, Scott.
Thanks for being here, Scott. Thanks for helping us out. And, of course, your phone calls are priority with us, but we do have things we like to legal topics we want to talk about. And I kind of want to start talking about the IRS and the Secretary of State. You don't think they have much in common, but let me tell you what's happened. After 2015, the IRS filed, or the IRS came up with this new law or this new code. It's Section 7345 of the IRS code, which allows the IRS to certify to the Secretary of State that you are delinquent in your tax debt. And that the Secretary of State will then revoke your passport. So what happens is the IRS sends a letter to the Secretary of State stating that you owe $50,000 or more in tax debt. And when they get that letter, they revoke your passport. And this is something I've never heard of before. And they send it. They don't even send it by certified mail. They send you a copy of the letter to your last known address, the address you put on your tax return. I always wonder, well, what if you've moved, or what if you didn't file a tax return for a year or so? But anyway, they send a copy of that to the, they send a copy to you. There's no due process. It's not like, okay, you have 20 days to contest it. Once they send the letter, the passport is revoked. And, I was trying to read where, well, what if I owe, you know, $50,000, and I pay it down by a couple of thousand, do I get to get my passport, you know, reinstated? I don't think so. You have to contact the IRS and work out something with them on a payment plan in order to have your passport renewed. I think there is an exception that if you're overseas, of course, and they send a letter to the Secretary of State, you can get back, but you can't leave the country.
Ironic, it would seem like they might try to extradite you at that point to bring you back in.
Well, I know, get you to get their money, but yeah.
And that way charge you a fee for it, too.
But the problem is, you're probably in a country where you're not allowed to stay. If you overstay your visa there, then they kick you out. But no, they will let you get back. But
they describe it as seriously delinquent tax debt.
Yeah, over $50,000.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could, with penalties and everything, a $20,000 tax bill can run up to $50,000. When they start adding the penalties and the interest and everything else. The one thing that will fix it, if you can arrange an installment plan with the IRS, that will fix it. So any kind of installment plan will do it. And
the notice of the federal tax lien has to be filed and a levy has been issued. That's, you know, you've got to have – so there's a process – the IRS must take.
Yeah, but once they get that levy.
Yeah, it's done.
It's done. Yeah. They send an alert to the Secretary of State. You have there's no due process at that point. You don't have a 20 day to contend it. It's like, it's over at that point unless you work it out with the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, they always find a way to get their money.
Yeah, they're trying to collect the money.
It's interesting how they stop the passport.
Now, has there ever been an incident of this where it's been documented that maybe they had the wrong information on somebody?
I don't know. I just know they sent it to the last known address, and if people move around like they do these days, then if you go to the wrong address, you could never get the letter. You could never know that you have got your passport's been suspended or revoked. And the letter that you receive from the IRS or from the Secretary doesn't tell you what your options are. The letter doesn't lay out, you know, here's what you can do to get your passport reinstated. All the thing I can tell you is you have to get back in touch with the IRS. At that point, the Secretary of State's out of it. So, anyway, that's a law that went into effect in 2015. And the other thing is, this is a case we were looking at this week. We know somebody that's, the PAM, the spray, cooking spray. There's a defect in the larger cans, like the ones you see in these big, like at Costco and Sam's and so forth, that, there's a manufacturing defect in these, in the PAM, cooking spray. And what's happened is it's causing these cans to spontaneously burst into flames. And it's based on a faulty design of the can. In 2011, there was a new venting mechanism designed to control the release of the propellant, and it's allegedly defective, and it's causing these things to just spontaneously blow up. And so if you're using PAM, you want to be careful about that, especially the bigger cans that you buy in the grocery store or wherever. So we'll keep you posted on how that lawsuit's progressing. That's the first one I've heard.
It looks like PAM issued some kind of a recall about that, too, for certain canister sizes.
Yeah, I think it's the larger ones that are causing the problem. But, you know, typically these companies, as we've learned, the recalls and the only come – they're results of lawsuits. They don't ever – it's rare that I've seen where they voluntarily do it. It's usually a law firm or an attorney filing a lawsuit that brings some information to light, and then the company gets on board and does something about it. But, like, for instance, there's some popular, I'm giving you an example, there's some popular sleep medications, Ambien, Zunesta, Sonata. You've seen these advertised all over the television. They just received, as of end of April, from the FDA, a black box warning. And a black box warning is the highest level of warning that the FDA can put on a particular drug. And these sleep medications have the side effects, hallucinations, sensory distortion. They're saying these side effects are rare but serious. There have been, in one situation, two people murdered their spouses while under the influence of Ambien. And they later claimed to have no memory of what happened. And these were people who were not really ever accused of any kind of history of aggressive or violent behavior, but they killed their wives not knowing, they can't remember doing it.
Well, there's urban legend stories about people doing sleepwalking and having strange engagements under the influence of that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, that was some of the other I saw. There had been firearms accidents, near drownings, hypothermia, like you said, sleepwalking, things of that nature from these sleep medications. So now there's a black box warning on them. So, again, probably a result of a lawsuit somebody filed against the company. And so that's something that's been going on. And I know, like you said, we've been involved in, and this is kind of, it's not a drug, but our firm has been actively involved in these Roundup lawsuits. And we represent, you know, hundreds of people who have sustained non-Hodgkin's lymphoma from the use of Roundup. And so, and we've been actively advertising for those cases because we feel that I think Bayer now has realized, because they've lost probably every lawsuit that's been filed against them. So, and I think the science is there to substantiate the claim that the active ingredient in Roundup does cause this non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So if you know or anybody has been around or used it, whether if you are a landscaper, if you're a gardener, you work at a golf course or whatever, if you are ever actively using Roundup during your time there, then you may want to go get yourself checked out, talk to your doctor and see if everything's okay from that side of it. Because we have been, when this started, Scott, I really didn't believe that, wow, you know, Roundup, I used Roundup, you know, not every day, but I've used it around the house. And it's been used for so long. I mean, it's been on the market for couple of decades, maybe 30 years or so.
And you considered John Q. Consumer that might use it in his yard. You know, you use it along the driveway, you use it to sort out some weeds in some particular areas of the yard. It's not something you're necessarily exposed to on a frequent basis or in a gratuitous amount. But anybody in a landscaping business, anybody who's greenskeeping or who's doing any kind of large area of service, they'd be exposed to a considerably greater amount of that. And it came with some information about using special gloves or something like that. Make sure, you know, no contact, blah, 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 standard disclaimers. But the discoveries that they've had of the consequences of that go way beyond the effects of a standard disclaimer.
Yeah. And when I first started hearing about it, I go, wow, I mean, you know, you're spraying it, but there's something in the Roundup that allows for absorption within to the skin. That's the problem. I mean, you're not drinking. It's not something you're drinking, but it's come. I guess the wind's blowing it onto your skin and or whatever way. And then that way it's being absorbed into the body. But yeah, you're right. It's and when it first started, wow, how many of these I've never heard of? If you really didn't hear about it, and now that we're into it, I mean, we've been getting phone calls from all over the state of Florida of people who have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and they have been around it. I mean, it's the same pattern. I've used Roundup for extended period of time. I've got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So
avid gardeners and people like that.
Yeah.
You know, that.
That we'll see how that works out. I mean, it's really unfortunate, and hopefully the company will do us right and try to get these cases behind them and pay these people what they deserve. So.
Well, guys, we're going to head into a commercial break. We're still looking for some calls. If you got any questions for Chuck and Eddie Farah, the Consumer Law Hour is here to help. 855-765-1045. Our lines are open. Give us a call, and we'll be back right after these messages on the Consumer Law Hour on News 104.5 WOKV. And we're back on the Consumer Law Hour. Our lines are open, 855-765-1045. Waiting for your calls. We've got Mitch and Avondale on the line. Mitch, thanks for calling the Consumer Law Hour. You're on with Farah and Farah. How can we help you?
Good afternoon, man.
Hey, Mitch.
A big backfire. I forget the name of the company. You could always smell it around I-95 and the Lim Turner exit there. Like
Glidden.
Dowling, Downing, or Glidden, yeah. You know, Bayer bought them about 7 years ago because they were making the drug that cured the cancer that they were giving off. So Bayer kind of bought the company that were giving things to cancer, and now I guess they're involved in this.
Yeah. Well, you know, Glidden is a paint factory. They make paint there. And
yeah.
We grew up about two blocks away from there, and I remember, Chuck, you remember how they...
It used to be fog.
It would be a fog in our neighborhood. It was like an orange fog. Resulting from what was
the
going
humidity,
on.
The humidity, would keep it down so bad, it would not dissipate.
Yeah, right. And it was smell. I mean, you couldn't even breathe it. Little we know back then,
we went
about our business.
Edgewood, all the way up to Dunn Avenue on 95, you could smell it.
Yeah,
because the Glidden factory is off of Norwood. It's off of Lem Turner and Norwood. Which is kind of a distance to Dunn Avenue, but I can't believe you could smell it all the way there.
I'm sure on... The wind was right. You could.
And in these humidity days, you know, because it couldn't dissipate up, the moisture kept it down.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. I mean, we grew up around that Glidden plant. We smelled it every day. I don't know what it...
Certainly. Bagging groceries, right?
I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure it did something to us. But, you know, the Bears, this company, as you know, is huge. I mean, the reason why they wanted Roundup, they bought Roundup because... Because Roundup was first owned by Monsanto, and then Bayer bought it a couple of years ago because Bayer's in the seed business. They produce seeds, they produce pesticides, they want to control that entire food chain. The pesticides that go on, the fertilizers.
Well, they genetically modify the seeds so that they can withstand the use of Roundup so that, you know,
so
farmers
Bayer,
can
like
control
the
their weeds
company?
Easier.
Yeah, Bayer's a parent.
Like,
they bought Monsanto.
Like Reynolds is or Kraft or whatever.
Yeah, they're big. They're the big one. They're trying to get into the – they're in the food business. I know they make drugs too, but they're in the food chain. They produce seeds. They produce the fertilizers. Now they've got the insecticides, and they want to control the whole food chain network. That's why they bought it.
Besides mesothelioma, you know, obviously the big one now is the – thing you said that started with the M that the Roundup has in it.
Yeah, the glyphosate. That's what's causing it.
So let me ask you, because there is an advertiser, and this is probably with y'all too, but I mean, some of them just say you may not have to appear in court, and I guess that matters with your health and stuff, because we're trying to get my grandmother to get on this, because she had a floral business. She's worked in florals all her life, and that might have been transmitted from the flowers to her, because she does have non-Hodgkin's.
Yeah,
yeah. That's if you have the, if you can show that you've been around the Roundup and you've got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Do you know when she was diagnosed with it?
7 or 10 years ago.
Yeah, she should be able to qualify.
Maybe longer.
Yeah, she should be able to qualify for that. But I mean, what's going to happen typically in these cases is part of what they call an MDL. Some of the cases have been tried. They try what they call the bellwether cases. They want to see what the juries are going to do. Do the juries believe the science? But typically most of these cases end up in what they call an MDL, which is a multi-district litigation where people are paid based on their injury. There's a grid. And how you fit in that grid determines, you know, what you're going to be paid.
Yeah, there's one court that kind of controls the whole
process.
Yeah, federal court. So they take all the cases throughout the country, and they place them within one jurisdiction, one court.
I mean, there's no way they can try tens of thousands of cases. So they have to come up.
So what you're saying, Chuck, is like if you are in a certain grid, that's why you may not have to appear in court, because of the grid may say this, so many cases have been settled. There's no ad litems or no nothing. You're going to be able to settle.
Right. You'd be able to settle. I mean, I think the client would have the right to opt out of any settlement.
And go file a lawsuit.
And go pursue their individual claim.
But most people just, most people don't want to wait because, with tens of thousands of claims, it may take years for your case to get to court. So most people accept what's paid in the grid. And of course, if you do that, you don't appear in court. You just sign the paperwork.
Well, of course, yeah. You will be delayed. I mean, they have more lawyers than people making pictures of you in court. So, so strangely, Ambien, I actually have two relatives. One was sleepwalking and had to be taken out of her yard. She ran into her garage with a car and also dug up a lot of plants and just was sleepwalking, just out there in it. And then, when the patent ran out for Ambien, Lunestra took over, and they didn't have a couple of the additives that it had. But my grandfather actually was cleaning guns, 3 o'clock in the morning.
I think that
he wasn't.
What was the second one you mentioned? The
Lunestra.
I think that was part of it too. Let me see if that's a black.
You know, when drugs come out, they have a patent. Like Viagra came out, you can't do nothing for 7 years, and then Cialis comes out. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, but I think that black box warning was also on the Nuestra. Also.
It maybe had been. You know, they just wait for the patent.
Yeah, it's on it. Yeah, Sonata, Ambien, and Zunesta. Yeah, Lunesta.
Right.
Lunesta.
Okay.
Excuse me. As part of that black box warning.
I will get to your office and see who I can talk to about getting on the non-Hodgkin.
Yeah, we're glad to help you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for the call. Thanks, Dad. Always, and Josh. Okay, good. So then, thank you.
Thanks for your call, Mitch. We've got Will. He's got a question regarding some anesthesia concerns. Will in Jacksonville.
Hey, Will.
Will, we'll set up your call. We've got a break coming up in just a minute, but we'll see if we can get things going on for you. Thanks for calling the Consumer Law Hour. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
So this goes back to March 5th. My best friend in the whole world, whenever he goes to the dentist, he likes to be put under anesthesia. That's just the way he does business, which I think is not great. And about the third time he did it, he didn't come out the same. He came out, completely loopy, and it's like he had a mini stroke. And I mean, he couldn't even function, to the point where, I had to go down there, take time off of work and to take care of him. And I literally thought he was going to die. He's since then come back physically, but mentally, this is a man that's written 20 books. He's brilliant. And now, even though he says he's fine, he's not.
What kind of anesthesia? I mean, typically they give you that. Are you talking about the gas or real anesthesia?
As far as I know, this was a real anesthesiologist.
Wow.
Yeah, the last one they were going to do in two separate trips, and so the thing that concerns me.
We can get back with you after the break. We'll get you back on the line.
No problem.
I want to talk to you.
Thank you.
Will, stay on the line for me. We've got lines open, 855-765-1045 for the Consumer Law Hour. Quick check from Fox News, a traffic and weather update, and we will be back with more Consumer Law Hour on News 104.5 WOKB. With the Consumer Law Hour on News 104.5 WOKV. Our lines are open at 855-765-1045. Reach out, talk with Chuck and Eddie Farah here at the Consumer Law Hour to answer your legal questions. We're coming back to Will, who had a question regarding a friend's experience with some anesthesia. Will, you're back on.
Yes, good to be back. Thank you.
So, Will, this was actual anesthesia?
Yes, to my knowledge, it was going to be two procedures charging $7,000 total. Right. So, yeah, I think it was the real deal. It was all the way.
Yeah, was it just the gas? You know, there are side effects of anesthesia, which are, that can happen regardless of whether there's any kind of malpractice situation. So what he would have to do, he has to have himself checked out. He has to go find out if there is an issue first.
Medically documented.
It's got to be medically documented. It can't be you saying it. You've got to have a doctor that says something's going on, something happened.
Right.
And if he's denying that he's injured, how are you going to do it?
Yeah, that's a good question. And that's kind of where he was. At first, he didn't want to do anything. He didn't want to sue or anything. And I said, Kirk, do you understand? Like it was bad medically. I had to do things that men shouldn't have to do for other men. He still says I'm okay. So that's kind of why
is he independently living right now?
Yes, he is.
Okay, so he's living on his own.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. He's living on his own. Is there anything he can't do or?
Yeah, no, he can't. He all his bills were late. I had to get power of attorney, the healthcare proxy, the whole works. I'm basically taking care of him, and he's down in Bonita Springs. I'm here in Jacksonville. And so it's been a mess.
So he's not independent then. You're still doing stuff for him.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Sorry, yeah. I didn't understand.
Oh, okay. So he's. Well, do you think he was over medicated, or was it like was he given too much anesthesia? For what he needed.
Like I said, I'm not a doctor. Absolutely, absolutely. When you go in one day and you're fine, and then the next day, I don't know what I can say on the radio or not, but
yeah,
he was found in a bad state of mind, and he doesn't drink or anything like that, and he's just it's just been bad, and a lot of lives have been turned upside down over the last 4 or 5 months.
He's got time. It's a 2-year statute of limitations. What he needs, he needs to retain it. Unless you have his, are you his guardian? Are you his?
Basically, yes, I am.
Do you have paperwork to show that?
I've got full power of attorney, okay, and full health care proxy.
Well, then you could probably retain a lawyer to look at it. Otherwise, he would have to sign the paperwork to have a lawyer take a look at it.
Right. Okay. I thank you for your help. Reason why I haven't really called about this is because I realize there are a few question marks, and, I don't want to waste anyone's time. But
if you want to call our office, we do medical malpractice, and we have a nurse that would talk to you, and she could help you through the process. But it would start with getting the medical. What we would do, or any attorney would do, would be to get the medical records, have the medical records looked at, see what kind of anesthesia was used, and if he used a proper amount or whatever happened. Had he been under anesthesia before?
Yes, I have personally.
No, he had. Had he been under it before? Yeah, three times. This is his third time.
I'll give you guys a call on Monday. I work in your building, so.
Okay.
And I live right across the street from your office.
All right.
Small world.
Yeah, no problem. What we can do is I'll have, when you call, try to ask for me, so I'll get the nurse on the phone with us.
Okay, is this Chuck or Eddie?
This is Eddie.
Eddie, okay, thank you.
Yeah, if you're
Brad, I'll give. I'll give a selfless plug for, was it South Grill? Your cousin works there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Southern Grill. Yep.
Southern Grill, that's it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and if I'm not going to lose your number, I'll call you back.
All right, Eddie, thank you so much. I appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate
great
it. Right, yeah. Yeah, these medical malpractice cases, you really have to have the records looked at by an expert because this is not like running a red light. Medical malpractice is not something that's black and white. I mean, there are a lot of gray areas. And, you know, people go, there's a risk when you go under anesthesia, as you know, that you may not wake up and you sign like a consent form. But sometimes things can go wrong when they shouldn't have gone wrong. We'll take a look at it.
All right. Well, we appreciate your call.
Sure.
We're moving on now to Daryl in Jacksonville, who's got some comments for Chuck and Eddie. Daryl, you're on with Farrah and Farrah.
Hey, Daryl.
Hello. How you doing, Eddie? I live out here near the Glidden plant. It's another name now, Siamese or something like that. But I've lived here for 76 years. That's how old I am. Still live up the street west, about three blocks west of the Glidden plant. And I've seen and smelled and everything else you were talking about.
Yep.
But one thing you said about them making paint, they never have made paint. I've been to open houses they've had, and first thing they tell you, we don't make paint. they do all kind of flavorings and perfumes and stuff like that. And
I thought it was called the Glidden Paint Factory.
No, it was a Glidden. It was a Glidden plant. But they never did make paint. They say during the war they made gunpowder back years ago. But I knew some chemists that worked over there too. That I used to go over there with them. And but one of the big things they always told you, we don't make paint.
Wow.
You know? And everybody thinks they do because the name is Glidden. You know.
Right. Right.
But
is it still operating?
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah. It's a S-I-S-Y-M-I-N-E or something like that. They've been bought out two or three times by different people.
Do you remember that orange haze that used to permeate the neighborhood?
Oh, yes. Yeah, and they've had they blow that big whistle every now and then whenever they have a fire or something over there, and they've even blocked the streets off with, you know, when they had a problem with maybe some kind of gas getting loose or something. And
yeah.
I used to play over at Tallulah Park back when you did with Julian Bars.
Oh, yeah. Julian Bars. Oh, yeah. The Ezels, you live next door.
Right.
Gary Ezel.
We
probably played corkball together over there.
Yeah, well, I remember all that. And I still go there now and then, but it's still there, but it's not like it used to be.
That's a great neighborhood.
Really, I still live in this neighborhood. I was born and raised here on 61st and Pearl, and three blocks west of the Glidden plant. But
we were on 68th and Pearl.
I remember you and your family down there. Sure do.
But yeah, we were all there.
Still here, homesteading this place.
Nice there. I like it.
Those oak trees throughout that whole neighborhood are beautiful.
I just want to let you know about the paint deal. Whatever, and like I say, you're not the only one thinks that.
Because, I know, because you're glad. I just assumed it, you know.
Yeah, because everybody else did too. But when I went to the open houses, they made it clear we don't make paint, and I always remembered that. Well, but good talking to you, Eddie, and y'all doing a fine job on the radio. I listen to you every week, so y'all have a good one.
Well, thanks for tuning in, Daryl.
Thanks for your call, Daryl. We'll go over to Steve on the west side now. He's got a question regarding Roundup. Steve, you're on with Farrah and Farrah.
Hey, Steve. All right. How you doing, fellas?
Hey, man.
Hey.
Listen to your show quite frequently. Can you recall whatever happened to the claims that Roundup was contained in Cheerios?
Yeah, I did read that they found some of that glyphosate in the Cheerios. I saw that. I don't know if there's any, I haven't seen any litigation for it, but they did detect amounts of glyphosate in the Cheerios. You're right.
I noticed it on the shelves, and I just stopped buying it. It was my favorite cereal.
I loved it. I love the Honey Nut Cheerios for sure. But,
okay.
But, yeah. I mean, you're right. I quit buying it, too, when I saw that. Because, you know, it's a pesticide. They probably, it's on the oats, and it stays on the oats, I guess. No, well, you're out.
Well, they were using Roundup to dry out the crops so that they could be harvested quicker.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all about getting the raw material to the market, you know. And so they'd use Roundup to they'd create these genetically modified seeds so that they could take Roundup and control the weeds much easier, which would get them, you know, to grow faster and
easier
than they'd
cheaper.
Use it to dry out the crop so that it would, you know, they could harvest it quicker. And
yeah, well, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Ends up in the
no litigation. Okay.
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I know of.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
All right, thanks for your call, Steve. We'll take one more call before our next break. We've got Wanda on the south side. Wanda, thanks for calling Consumer Law Hour. You're on with Farrah and Farrah.
Hey, Wanda.
Hi. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
So about 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with bladder cancer. And after the operation to remove it and stuff like that, I was told it was a very rare chemically cancer from chemicals, where people usually work with chemicals, which I never have. So a couple of months later, I found out through a friend that there was a class action suit against Campagene contaminated water. And I went in line and looked it up, and it's one of the 15 cancers that is caused by it. But I also found out that it caused miscarriages, which I had 7, and 5 years of fertility treatments and never had children. And I was also back and forth, should I jump on the bandwagon with the families who are basically getting nothing, but they cover is your cost above your insurance, what your insurance will pay for, or disability or treatment in a VA hospital. And, you know, I just don't know if I want to go through that.
I mean,
sometimes I get really angry about it.
Is this an MDL? What is the name of the lawsuit? What's it called?
It's a Camp Lejeune class action suit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the water was contaminated
from
83 to 83.
Right.
And when I go online and see how much worse other people had it, I think I should just not do anything. You know, I'd have to get the proof that my father was there, that I was born there, on my medical record. And they don't really, it just makes me angry that they don't consider the families that have been destroyed by this class action, by the contamination. And I just think I should just join it because I'm so upset about the miscarriages more than the cancer. I mean, it's costing me about $2,000 a year because of the treatments I have to have to prevent cancer for the next 5 years.
Mm. Who's paying for that?
I have to pay out of pocket for it because my deductible is $2,500.
Right. You know what? You didn't even leave your phone number with our producer because I would like to talk to you more about it. Because there are things that you need to know, and I love if we can get into it while we're here.
Yeah, it's pretty complicated issue.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, I will.
I'm sure. I'll call you on Monday.
All right, thank you for your call, Wanda. We'll be back with more of the Consumer Law Hour, taking more of your calls in just a few moments. Consumer Law Hour continues on News 104.5 WOKV. For the final segment of the Consumer Law Hour on News 104.5, 855-765-1045, the number to call. We've got lines open. We're going now to Douglas in Putnam County. Douglas, you're on with Chuck and Eddie.
Hey, Douglas.
Hello there.
How you doing?
My personal case is rather complicated, but I'll just keep it simple in questions. If a defamation of character is considered personal injury, I'm having a rough time finding an attorney that would cover something like that. And then the second thing is that if my damages are beyond $5,000, I'm led to believe I have to do county court versus small claims. Can I represent myself, or am I required to have an attorney?
Yeah, no, you're not required. You know, they're raising – how long ago did the defamation happen?
It's just been a few months. It's okay. A landlord tenant.
Because they're raising the amount for county court. You can sue up to, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. You can go online. But as of, I think, January of 2020, they're raising the county court level up to maybe, $20,000 or $25,000. So you can get up to that much money on your own, you know, without, you know, you can just file it on your own.
Okay, now that would be small claims, you mean?
It's small claim, but it's called county court.
Oh, okay.
You're in county court, but they're raising the level. Right now it's 15. I think they're raising it to 25,000.
Okay, because I've been led to believe that if I go beyond small claims, that it's county, that's considered county court, and right, that I would have to have an attorney.
No, sir, you do not need an attorney.
Okay.
You can can file the complaint on your own. You'll have to have it served by the sheriff. The clerk will show you how to do that. You file the complaint, and then you could go to have you drawn up the complaint yet?
No, in fact, I've been having a rough time. Went through legal aid, and
they don't do that. You can go to a legal clinic, or you could maybe pay a lawyer to draw up the complaint for you.
Yeah, well, see, what I'm running into is the defamation of character led to the loss of all my worldly possessions, made me homeless, and I'm everything short of living in a tent, and I'm a veteran.
Well,
and so I'm trying to, go through the proper procedures. And there's laws have been broken. The sheriff.
Who are you suing? You suing the government, or are you suing the?
Well, it's a landlord tenant that went awry, and then there's the law's been broken, and the sheriff. It started out that the sergeant called me Gabby. The lieutenant said you've been squatting on a dead man's property. Their judge or attorney. After I showed them how that they did a squatter's act on me,
right,
but they lied in the sworn affidavit because the utility was in my name at the time.
Yeah.
Plus everything else reflected. So then, and the captain, because I was trying to use the chain of command, I had run it for political office in the past and said, called me a conspiracy nut. I have met with the sheriff at the county commission meetings, and he said he didn't want to hear the minutiae, and then he would have somebody send me an information packet, and it's been over 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm ready to go ahead and just sue everybody that looks at me that's involved.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's a complicated – you're going to have to get what you could do, what I would recommend is you can call the Jacksonville Bar Association, and for $50 you can talk to an attorney for 30 minutes who specializes in the kind of law you need. So to me, I would start with that. Because you could talk to an attorney who knows what he's doing for $50, and he'll tell you, he'll direct you as well as he can on what you need to do. I mean, this is a complicated case. It's not like I'm suing somebody for who owes me some money or for something like that. I mean, you're talking about, defamation and what are the damages, and if you got the sheriff involved, that's a different type of lawsuit because you're suing the government. And there are certain, there are certain pre-suit screening requirements you have to go through before you can sue the government.
Yeah, I understand
it's
that.
More
that's
involved.
Why,
it's more involved. It's not that easy.
Yeah, and I'm at that point, though. I'm rubbing two sticks to generate light. So $50, that's a week's worth of groceries.
I know that, but
if I could find an attorney that would do contingency, then I think, damages, and I've got all the evidence to validate the effort. It's just trying to find an attorney who wants to jump on.
It's very difficult because you're not dealing with an insurance company. If he's working on a contingency, he's paying all the costs and all the time he's spending on it, and there may not be any money to recover.
Right. Well, biggest thing I need is the first pleading or the cover sheet, or whatever you want to call it, the complaint,
right,
that thing. And I've gone through the practices and procedures guide and can't necessarily find one that fits.
You can just go to the law library, and there are books there that have sample complaints that cover every type of lawsuit, and get a copy of it. The law library at the courthouse is open to everyone.
Okay.
Not just lawyers.
Well,
all right.
I'll go scoot around in there and see what I can find. Thank you very much.
Librarians will help you find those complaints.
All righty. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, sure. Good luck.
Well, Douglas, we appreciate your call. We appreciate all the callers and the opportunity to help everybody that we get a chance to every week. The hour flies by fast as we reach the end of another edition of the Consumer Law Hour. We'll be back next Saturday.
Spring? Is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely there fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. That means more comfort and less baggage. Experience how Allbirds is redefining comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's Allbirds.com, code SUPER24.